hadn't caught anything so far, they certainly weren't about to catch anything now. So when Jesus came and said, "Why don't we go out and fish some more?" his request was ridiculous. But the catch was miraculous. The request was ridiculous. Their catch was miraculous. And in the Bible, when you go through the Bible, there are lots of times where God asks his people things that seem ridiculous. To name a few, we've got Noah, who's asked to build a boat in the middle of a desert. We get Joshua, told to walk around the city 7 times to defeat it. We get Moses, who when they come with the Israelites, when they come to the water, hold your staff out over it. Peculiar things. Yet each one of those things ended up being miraculous. And you know what? When we step out and do the ridiculous things that it seems that God's asking us to do, we start to see the miraculous, just like Peter did. And seeing the miraculous catch made Simon Peter realise that Jesus was somebody special. And realising that Jesus was somebody special made him realise that he was a sinner. He had done things that were wrong in his life. But Jesus still wanted to use him. When Simon Peter admitted that he was a sinner, he didn't say, "Oh, right, well, I'll go and find somebody else and somebody better than you." He still wanted to use him. And though we do wrong things as well, we're just like Simon Peter, we mess up, we're sinners, we do the wrong thing. God still wants to use us. And actually, knowing that he messed up made Simon Peter more humble and more likely to listen to Jesus. I think if Simon Peter hadn't seen that miraculous catch and he'd been asked to be a fisher of men, he'd have been giving Jesus fishing tips. I'll tell you what, Lord, I think it'd be best if we go here. But actually, he was listening to Jesus because he knew that Jesus was somebody special. And actually, it's sometimes important that we remember that we have the ability to mess up, because it helps us listen to Jesus, and it helps us be more compassionate to others, and it helps us remain teachable. We can learn, and if we remember that actually we mess up and we need Jesus, then we're more likely to learn from him. And Jesus, when he called Simon Peter, he didn't tell him what was coming up next. He just said, "Come and follow me." Now, I like the Radio Times because it tells me what's coming up on television that week. And it tells me a little bit about what's happening in my favourite programme. So I've read the Radio Times for this week. I know that there's a new character in Call the Midwife tonight. And I know they're doing the Big Freeze as well. So I'm prepared emotionally for what's coming up in the episode. And I love the Radio Times. And my granny, she's 92. Well, she'll be 92 in a couple of months' time. And she likes writing on her Radio Times, which I think a lot of people do. They maybe circle the things they want to watch. But my granny sometimes goes a bit further than that. She has very strong views about what the BBC and other television channels should be using their money to make programmes. And if she disagrees with what they've maybe spent their money on, not only does she not circle it because she's not going to watch it, she gets a pen and scores through it with a big cross. And sometimes she writes a rude message in the margin like, "What a waste of money." And I tell you, this is absolutely true. And "I'd rather not, thank you." And things like that. And it makes for a very interesting read when you go to her house. I always flick through the Radio Times and see what she's declared unsuitable this week. And, you know, I sometimes wish that my life had a Radio Times, not just for the television, but for what was going to happen in my life. I'd love to know, at the beginning of the week, we open up, you know, this week, happening in the life of Lydia, this might happen. I'd love to know. I'd love to be a bit more prepared. I could sort of, you know, I feel like I could get myself ready. But actually, if I knew what was coming up, I might do what my granny did. I might, you know, cross through the things that I wasn't too happy about it happening. For example, if it said, "This week Lydia's going to share with a colleague about Jesus," I might be like, "Absolutely not going to happen," and might call in sick that day to avoid it. Because, you know, when God calls us, he calls us to trust him. He doesn't say go, he says come. He's saying, "I will go with you." And he equips us and gets us ready. And sometimes we don't know what it's going to look like when we follow Jesus, but we know that he goes with us and he gives us all we need. And the word follow has started to mean something else in our society. Can I have the picture up, please? Here we go, we've got Jesus. No, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me. So the word follow seems to mean something else these days. So for those of you who don't know about Twitter or Facebook or anything, what you can do is you can follow somebody, and you're not literally sort of going behind them, but it means that anything that they've written down and posted, you get to see it, and you can like it, which means pressing a button. Or you might even, if they said something really inspiring, you might share it, or what's called retweeting. And if someone sort of posts something that's a bit boring that you're not interested, you can kind of scroll past. Or if they post something that you're really offended by, you just unfollow them and think, I don't want to know what you're doing anymore. And I think if Jesus is on Twitter, I might follow him on Twitter and see what he had to say about things. And if he said something interesting, I might like it. Or I might even share it and say, yeah, I think this is a really good idea, Jesus, yeah. But if it was something a bit challenging, I might scroll past it and sort of pretend I hadn't seen it. Or if something really made me uncomfortable, I might sort of unfollow Jesus for a while because he was being a bit too radical. And sometimes I think we do that in our own life. When God starts calling us to do something we don't want to do, or feeling a bit uncomfortable about something, we maybe sort of stop reading our Bible, or we stop praying, we stop asking Jesus about stuff. So we unfollow him, we sort of don't really want to know. But when Jesus asks for followers, it's an action word. He actually wants us to follow him. And that means doing as he did, spending time with the kind of people he spent time with, following in his footsteps, going where he went. That's what Jesus calls us to do when he calls us to follow him. It's not a passive thing. It's not something where we sit back and just watch on. He wants us to do. And these disciples, they laid down everything to follow Jesus. They laid down their homes, their jobs, their families. They left them behind. They laid down their money. And they didn't take anything with them. They didn't have time to go and pack a suitcase. They just left everything and followed Jesus. And what really amazes me about the story is they've just had the most successful catch of fish they've ever had in their lives. You know, this is big bucks we're talking about here. And what they do is they just drop it and walk away. They don't go and cash it in at the fish market. They leave it and walk away. And I have to ask us this morning, what is it that we are called to lay down? We may not be fishermen who've just caught a big catch, but what is it that Jesus is maybe asking us to lay down this morning? Maybe it's money. Maybe he's asking us to be more generous with it. Maybe it's our own comfort. Maybe our pride. Maybe our own ambitions. And the thing is when the disciples laid down everything they had, they went and had an amazing adventure. It wasn't always plain sailing. It wasn't always easy. But they had an amazing adventure learning from Jesus firsthand. And I think when we lay things down, we start to experience the miraculous and we start to have an amazing adventure with Jesus. And it may not always be easy, but it's exciting. It's an adventure. And I just want to finish by just sharing something with you about sort of what's been going on in my life recently. And I'm sorry if you've heard this before, but when I started teaching over 5 years ago now, I felt, just before I started my first job, I felt that God was telling me this wasn't going to be forever. Not to get too comfortable, because I wouldn't just be staying in the job forever until I retired. And so I was kind of, you know, started to think, okay, that's fine. And then a couple of years ago, I felt God start to stir in me that it would be soon be time to step out, to leave behind my job, and step into what he was calling me to, which I felt was some kind of ministry. And this time last year, I started looking for jobs. I knew that I was going to have to give my job up at the end of the year. I felt that God was really calling me to do that. And so I decided I'd start looking for jobs. But nothing came up. So I was a bit confused and thought, well, you know, why are you stirring this feeling in me, God, if there's actually nothing for me to go to? And the time drew nearer and nearer to the point where I had to hand my notice in. because you have to hand it in quite far in advance of teaching so that you can leave in the summer. And I thought, after a while, I can see what God's doing here. Maybe the job that's going to be right is going to happen, it's going to come up after I've handed my notice in. So maybe God's testing me and trying to see if I will just step out. So I did it. And I waited expectantly, thinking I'd figured God out. I was like, right, okay, God, I'm ready for my job. And I just waited and waited and waited. And the time grew closer and closer and closer to the end of term where I wouldn't have a job anymore. And on the last day of term, I was lying in my bed on that morning thinking, what on earth am I doing? This is ridiculous. I haven't got anything to go to. I'm just giving up a perfectly good job and just leaving it behind and to step out into nothing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I started to really think, I thought maybe if I go to the head teacher this morning, I can get my job back. Maybe I knew there was like still a couple of vacancies and I thought, yeah, if I go this morning, it's not too late. I can do it and then it'll be fine and I'll be safe again. But, and so I'd sort of semi-decided on that for a good plan. And then I got up and I noticed that my calendar had fallen down off the wall. So I went and picked it up. And what I had last year was a calendar that was full of scripture pictures. So it had pictures. It's by an artist called Hannah Dunnett. You may have heard of her. And she's got she makes these lovely pictures with Bible verses sort of weaved into the picture. And I hadn't really looked at that month's picture before. I just sort of turned it over and shoved it back on the wall where it lived and hadn't really looked at it other than it was a lovely picture. But I hadn't really looked at the Bible verses. So when I picked it up to put it back on the wall, I read these two verses jumped out at me. The first was Jeremiah 29, verse 11, where it said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And the second one was Isaiah 30, 21, and it said this, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." So I didn't go and see the head teacher on the last day of term, although I very much wanted to. I packed up my classroom, shoved it all in my car, and drove home on that last day of term. And I still didn't have a clue what I was going to do. And at that moment, what I had to do was just trust and be like those disciples, following in faith, not quite knowing what was going to come up next. And, you know, the requests seemed ridiculous. Why would I give up my job and all this financial security and all the things that come with it? Why would I do that? It's a ridiculous idea. But I'm trusting. And I'm still in this phase of trusting. I haven't got, like, you know, a wonderful sort of end point to the story yet. I'm just trusting that I'm going to see the miraculous. And it's been really hard at times. And it's required all my courage to step out and do it. But I'm just trusting that it's the right thing. And actually, I'm with Jesus. He's calling me. He's equipping me. And I've just got to go where he goes, where he calls me to go. So what we're going to do now, we're just going to give you a bit of time to have a think and just sort of... just listen to God and just maybe if there's something that's stirred in you this morning, or maybe just listen to God and see what it is that you think he might be calling you to do. I think if the children are ready, if they could come back with their fish, because we're going to need those in a minute. So what we've got is, Nick, could you come and do my behind the scenes bit? So we've got some fish here, which we're going to lay down in the tank over there. And in fact, that's going to be over here when Nick moves it. So we've got some fish, and we'd like you to come up if you would like to. If you want to maybe pray that prayer again that Jesus, yeah, I'm willing to follow you, I'm willing to lay everything down, then we'd like you to come and collect a fish from inside the tank. And then we're going to have on the stage, we've got a big net, a fishing net. And what we'd like you to do is take your fish. And whatever it is, you know, that fish is going to symbolise whatever it is you need to lay down, that prayer you're willing to pray. And we'd like you to come and put it in the net and then lay the net down and walk away. Normally what we ask you to do with all age, we often give you something to take away to remind you, but we really felt this morning that actually we wanted you to go away empty-handed. Not, you know, just because what we want you to do is to feel that actually, you know, you don't need anything. God's got everything and he's going to go with you. So we're going to have some music up there with the words. So if you want to join in or if you want to just listen, then you can. It's up to you. We're just going to have a bit of space. And I think the children have also got some fish that they've been decorating, which they're going to lay down in the net as well. So when you're ready, come and make your way up. Come and grab your fish and leave it in the net.